Today on Real Life Radio.
When you push God out, you say things like this: where's the promise of his coming? Everything's continued on since the beginning. Nothing's going to happen. There's no judgment coming. But God's bearing witness in their minds. But their hearts become a bed of corruption. They start making decisions that destroy themselves.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, with a message called Any Day Now, Part 2. It's been decades since Peter walked on the earth with Jesus, but his passion to impart vital yet practical wisdom to the church has never faltered. His hard-hitting final warning to all believers may be his last will and testament, but for us, it couldn't come at a better time. You see, today is the day of salvation, and a good day to know for sure that you are in the family of God. Peter's intention here in verse 3 really isn't to teach us something new, but rather to remind us of the things we already know, to stir up our minds that salvation is having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise of eternal life in heaven with him. So on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that many believe too much time has passed for Christ to return, that he would never judge the earth by altering the patterns of the universe. But God is not bound by time or the physical world as we know it. If he delays his coming, it's only further evidence of his patience and mercy that none of us would die in our sin. And now in his message called Any Day Now, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I think it's Ben Shapiro, the radio host and author. Ben Shapiro says, facts don't care about your feelings. You know, that's true. You never go into science class. Can you imagine? I would not want to have a brain surgeon come into my room and say, you know what? I've looked at all the things, everything. You know, I studied your head and the tumor and everything. I tell you what, surgery's tomorrow. I'm just going to go with what I feel. Can you imagine you get on an airplane, a 747, and the pilot says, hey, I know we're supposed to be going to Hawaii today, but I'm kind of feeling like kind of shaking it up a little bit. You'd get off that plane. You'd get up off that table. Knowledgeable. They say in their heart, there is no God. But they have to lay down every night and go with that and through that and argue. The third thing is in verses 5-6. Being ready is being wise. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, this is awesome, that by the word of God, to willfully forget, this is a funny thing. To willfully forget doesn't mean that you have forgotten. Oh, yeah, I remember. See, Peter's been telling us, you need to remember what you've known about God. These guys, they know and they move against it. They willfully forget. That means they work really hard to push it out. Gosh, I wish I could draw you a cartoon, but it's knowledge that's all around them, and they're doing everything they can to push it away from them all the time. That's why you can't discuss anything with these people. They're illogical. You'll say something so biblically true, and it bounces right off their head. Why? They're going like this with it, constantly fighting. But they go to church on Sunday, and they write Christian books. No, seriously. They become professors in seminaries. This is for real. It's unbelievable. They resist. We, on the other hand, listen, a wise believer is a ready believer, and a ready believer is wise. Always be ready. For this they willfully forget. They push it out. What is it that they forget? That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water. Did that confuse some of you a little earlier? Just watch. It's so simple. Verse 6, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. So how does this happen? First of all, are you guys okay? Okay, first of all, this is how it happens. So what's the result? Well, first of all, this is what happens. When you push away God's revelation, be it in the Bible and in science, because they're compatible perfectly. Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Church family, everybody on this planet has an internal witness that God is the creator. He shows himself to them. You say, what about the guy running around in South America with his underwear on and his spear? God is revealing himself to him. Look at verse 21 of Romans chapter 1. Because although they knew God, that is, they knew about the existence of God, they did not glorify him as God. Do you think that's happening today in our world? Nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Notice the, see that? Mind, heart. Verse 22, this is what you do when you reject God. You declare yourself to be wise, but the Bible says they've become fools. They reject, but not so you. The house of God, the people of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 24 goes on, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts. Notice that, see that? To dishonor their bodies among themselves. They lose control. When you push God out, you say things like this, where's the promise of his coming? Everything's continued on since the beginning. Nothing's gonna happen. There's no judgment coming. There's no, God's not gonna intervene in stuff. By the way, I say there is no God, but God's bearing witness in their minds, but their hearts become a bed of corruption and they defile their bodies. They start making decisions that destroy themselves. This is something that maybe people don't want to hear, but when you and I watch the culture and the age in which we're in and we see people making the choices they do to destroy their bodies for pleasure, they weigh it out, everybody. Okay, if I do this, I could kill myself in doing it. Or if I partake in this or if I do the other, I'm gonna shorten my lifespan or I'm going to, they know that, but they make the decision in that direction anyway. What are we watching? We're just not watching the decay in the culture. We're watching the culture decay because the culture has departed from God. Right. And we're living that time. Romans 1, 28, Romans chapter 1, verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their, what? Knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, which are not profitable. And it destroys them. And then I want to end, but I want to end by sneaking ahead. We'll hit it next week. But look down at verse 9 of chapter 3. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Church, listen. God's will is for man to turn from his direction. His witness is overwhelming. When the Bible told us here a moment ago that the earth that was created was in water and standing out of the water, we read that and we go, what? And yet, when you look at the Genesis account, and when we open up next time together, we'll start with that. The Genesis account, watch this. You say, man, it's Peter, are you losing your mind? The earth was in and then, or the world was in and then out of water? And when you read the Genesis account, that's exactly what it says. It says there that the Holy Spirit in Genesis 1 brooded over the waters of the deep. Did you know that according to the Bible creation, this entire globe was a watery mass? The Bible says the Spirit of God began to hover. The word is hover, brood. It's the old word to brood or to stir up the water. Isn't that weird? Isn't that amazing? Think about a watery ball. And God's will, God's word is going forth and the Spirit of God is moving over the face of the deep, over the water. And God says that he caused the dry land to appear. Amen. And it says that the waters that it was in began to be separated so that there were the waters, there was the dry land, and there was the waters above. And that is such a radical scientific statement that's 100% true, because that's what's called atmosphere. Water moves in an invisible, I say invisible, there's a belt of water that circles the earth for the remarkable scientific benefits of you and I to live. And yet the earth is, in a sense, coming out of the water, because we have, what is it, 2/3 of our world's covered in water. And this is Peter the fisherman 2,000 years ago making a statement that would not be discovered for millennia later. Evidence that the Holy Spirit spoke the Bible. Be careful, friends. Listen, Do you believe that Jesus Christ could return at any time? The Bible teaches that. Why do you not believe that? It could be that you've never heard that before. Fantastic. Now you know. You could say, I just don't believe it. Why? Why is that true, that you don't believe it? What's your reasoning? You need to deal with it. What's your reason? Could be, third, you don't want it to be true. The thought is this: I don't want him to come back. I don't think he will. I've gotten away with murder so far. Maybe literally, I don't know. But I don't want him to come back. Those who hold to this are actually saying, I don't want him to come back because he's going to mess up my lifestyle. The coming of Jesus is really, that would really put me out. I've got plans, and he wouldn't approve of them. Where's the promise of, and watch this, and we'll end. It's a dangerous form of logic. Watch. I want to do what I want to do. I cannot allow the existence of God to be entertained in my mind. And so I'm going to go with my feelings. And I'm going to stand on those feelings. Because if God does exist, then I'm going to have to answer to my Creator for the way I live my life. And that's unacceptable to me. So I'm going to push the existence of God right out of my mind. And oh, by the way, I've got a little bit of comfort to kind of back up my theory. I haven't gotten caught yet. Haven't gotten in trouble yet. Maybe there's no judgment coming at all. Because he's not coming back. He may not even be real. And I submit to you today that we live in that kind of a world. In January, in Switzerland, there's going to be a meeting. They've already been assembling the agenda. And the agenda incorporates the silencing, the disabling, the rendering a certain people group no longer effective. It's going to be hosted in Davos. It's being funded by George Soros, and George Soros said, I don't believe in God, but if there was a God, I am God. George Soros said that the evangelical existence in America is the biggest problem to what's called the global reset. He calls it the reset. You're the problem. You're the problem because you believe in God. You're the problem because you believe in the Bible. You believe in God because Christ is King, not some group in Europe or not some international think tank. You say, how in the world can people think like this? Because they no longer allow God to be retained in their thinking, and they told their heart, there is no God. And they set out on a course to become the very thing they said doesn't exist, gods. They become gods. I just found it fascinating that the big problem with the global reset is the evangelical presence in the United States. That is both wonderful. That is both wonderful and encouraging. Because that tells you that you are being the salt and the light that's needed in these last days. So any day now, Christ could come. Jesus said, I'll be coming at a time for the church when you don't expect, when you're not thinking. Church, let's stand together, and I want to kind of illuminate that for a moment. I love the thought of that. You say, I don't know, that kind of scares me because I'm, it's okay. Take a deep breath and relax, because listen, when you're in the family of God, when these things are the focus of your life, that you're vigilant and you're knowledgeable and you are hanging on and listening to the word of God and growing, you say, yeah, but what if I'm not thinking about Jesus at the moment? What if he comes next week and I'm not thinking about him? That's okay. You can be ready and not be thinking about him in that moment. You could be at work focusing on your job or trying to figure out that problem in school. He said, I'm going to come when you're not thinking. Do you know what that word implies? That you be ready. See, you can always be ready, even if you're not thinking about his coming at that moment, because you've placed yourself in the ready mode. Just press the button. Boop. You're in the ready mode. And you live your life for Christ. And it is encouraging, and it is equipping, and it is useful. And Peter's announcing to us, as we get into these days, you're gonna hear a lot of people mock that he's coming back. You can test this message and his word out today, wherever you go. You can say to someone, I'm curious, by the way, it's Sunday, we just came from church. Can I ask you a question? Do you believe Jesus could come back today? If they start making fun, get a picture with them. Post it. You just met somebody that the Bible anticipated for thousands of years, and they're living and walking among us. But as Paul said, I'm convinced of better things concerning you. Father, we praise you for your word. We thank you, Lord. It is amazing to realize that any time you could come for the church and we would be collectively caught up to meet you. And I thank you, Lord, that that's the doctrine of your word. And that puts us in that place of always being ready. Lord, we've all, either in our previous lives or maybe we know people today that they think they're going to get ready to meet Jesus when the doctor says you've got 6 months. That's the dice they're throwing. They're forgetting that they could step off the curb and kill themselves. They're forgetting that they could get hit by a truck. They're forgetting that they could have a heart attack in a second. They're not ready. So Father, I just pray over the flock, this precious body of believers, and I include myself. Dear Heavenly Father, if in any way, shape, or form we're not ready, we ask you to reveal to us what you want done in our lives. Lord, may we throw off the things that distract us. There's a lot of fear today. There's a lot of challenges. So much drama in this world right now to get our eyes off of you. But then you told us, be careful, so watch out. Do not be pulled down by the cares of this life, you said. So, Father, I pray this morning that you'd bless this church, these people, that you'd galvanize them, Lord, against falsehood, that you'd energize them, Lord, for the truth. And, Father, that as a church family, that your favor would be upon us. It's becoming so clear, Lord, that we're living in a demonically energized age. The church is in the crosshairs. And I pray that you'd cause us to stand and to proclaim and to love and to care and to preach the cross of Christ. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. That today, my friend, wherever you may be, no matter who you might be, that today you would bow your knee to Jesus Christ and you would say, Lord, come into my life and transform me. Holy Spirit, take up residence in my life. Transform my life. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ today. That today you would say that Jesus is my Lord who has risen from the grave and is alive, and I wait for him. Lord, we give you ourselves today. We praise you, Almighty God. And as we end in this song, may we sing to you as though, Lord, it's our last song to be sung here on earth. In fact, wouldn't it be great if during this song we would blink and the next view is your throne room? Lord, may it come from our hearts now in Jesus' name. And all of God's people praise the Lord in this next song.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Any Day Now, Part 2. We're so glad you joined us today. Any Day Now, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter, a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, just a reminder that Pastor Jack has a lot more to offer at his website. Just go to jackhibbs.com, and once you're there, you'll find devotions, sermons, more Bible studies, prophecy updates, and so much more. Combat faith requires a knowledge of the Word of God. The more you know, the less likely you are to fall for false Christianity. Peter warns us not to be ignorant in the things of God, and dedicated his life in spreading the truth found in Jesus Christ and in the Word of God. Again, if your desire is to know God in a deeper way and you want to understand what it means to truly follow Christ, head on over to Pastor Jack's website. That's at jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. Hey, are you intentional about what's going on around you? We can't in good faith turn a blind eye to what's happening in our world these days. So much is changing in our culture, and we need to talk about it. Pastor Jack has a podcast called Real Life Talk. Now you can stay informed through interviews with special guests who are leaders in their field, along with episodes that give a biblical perspective on social and cultural issues facing our country today. It's all right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. You know, like Peter, we're living in perilous times. Our thoughts and emotions really can get out of hand at times. Now, more than ever, we struggle to keep our thoughts of ourselves and our emotions in check. But Peter understood the power of encouragement, comfort, and instruction. It's why Pastor Jack offers the Real Life mobile app. With the app, you'll have instant access to all sorts of things that Pastor Jack has to offer. You can access the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app through the App Store or through our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. You know, we could all use a little encouragement now and again. These days, life can come at us from all different directions. But like Peter, no matter what we face, no matter what mistakes we've made, we can still be that kind of person whose only pursuit is the heart of God. There is no true salvation outside of Jesus Christ. But if you're not sure what that really means, well, we're here to help. On our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Know God. Spelled out, that's K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, you'll find the good news of the gospel laid out for you step by step. You'll also find an easy link to let us know if you prayed to receive Christ, or if you've got any further questions, we'd like to know. That's at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.